So I'm going to start with, not the mic, because I don't want to lose more time. I just completed a book called Awakening Through the Nine Bodies, and it is a result of my studying with a teacher in India over, since 1998 or 9. So studying with him since 1998 or 99, I can't quite figure out when it was. He and I disagree on this a bit. But one of those years, and I did not intend to be spending so much time with him, but I went there for seek advice in relation to the throat chakra, which is not the kind of thing we do in Theravada Buddhism. And he asked me not to leave. I was just going there for an hour, and he asked me to stay and study with him. So I did study, and what he wanted to teach me was this teaching about these nine aspects of consciousness, or nine levels of consciousness, nine levels of being, which each level of being has its own consciousness. Like, there's a consciousness in the physical body that we know as sensation. There's a consciousness in the vital body, the prana body, that we know as vitality. And like in the emotional body, we know that we know in the emotional body that there's this kind of energy of emotion. That's the consciousness. It's conscious. The consciousness of the emotional body is emotions. But emotions come and go, but the emotional body remains. Our vitality fluctuates up and down, but there is vitality, or we would be dead. And so with the physical body, all these different sensations come and go in the physical body through what the consciousness that the Buddha talks about, of the ear consciousness, the eye consciousness, the nose consciousness, the taste consciousness, and the touch consciousness, and then the mind consciousness. And the Buddha teaches it as that there's the really kind of 18 experiences around this knowing, the object, and then the organ that's sensing it, and then the knowing itself. So very much in keeping with this Buddhist way of delineating experience so it can be more fully known, which is also done in the four foundations of mindfulness, or in the way of the seven factors of awakening. We could just say there is awakening, but no, we say there's seven. The Buddha chose to teach us seven factors of awakening so we can know it more fully. So in this experience that Sri Swami Yogi Prambarni teaches as from his experience of having sat for 3 days in samadhi, no movement of anything for 3 days, and his reflection of coming out of that, he realized this experience of these different levels of experience. And I have found this, I got interested in this because I found it a way of describing experience that I have had and many students on retreat have had, but we've not used a label for them. In the Theravada system, there's not a map like this, and I found this particular map useful in terms of describing experience. And you've heard the first of these three bodies tonight in your meditation, the physical body. Everybody knows the physical body, right? Anybody not know your physical body? And then this vital body. Does everyone have a sense of your vital body? That, like, when there's vitality and not, and how much vitality there is? You know, that's so. But we don't notice that so much. And yet, we should, because should's not the right word. It is wise when we do so, because it gives us information as to how we are relating to ourselves and what needs nourishing. So it's quite useful, this vital body. And then the emotional body, which when I was taught this that was the most difficult for me to actually access. I was a little like those first two, and then these more subtle bodies that I'm going to be describing to you in a moment. Those were all more palpable to me than the emotional body, because I was going, oh, emotional body, and then I thought of this emotion or that emotion or what emotion I'm feeling right now. And that emotion you're feeling right now is indication of the emotional body, but it's not the emotional body as a whole. The emotional body as a whole is a capacity. We have a capacity to have emotions. And some people struggle because they are without affect. They don't have emotions. And that is a challenge for them to not have emotions, that they just make for one reason or another. And in terms of relatedness and all. So the thinking of the emotional body is that there is an emotional body, and then there are these waves, like there's a body of water and there's waves in the water that come and go. So any given emotion comes and goes, but there is this capacity in your life to have emotions. You have an emotional body that is sensitive to stimulation, and various stimulations bring up different waves of emotion, or if you like the structure of a home better, which my teaching colleague, Dana De Palma, this was her analogy that I like, that there's a structure within us, an emotional structure within us, and various visitors come and go within that structure that we call, you know, anger or excitement or frustration or so forth. That there's these kinds of experiences come and go. So I'm going to say more about these three in just a moment. But first, in your meditation experience, anything that you felt or experienced around this that you would want to report, any of these three bodies, or a question that it brought up, or check out what I mean by one of these three, anything like that.
The question that it brought up for me is the purpose of noticing these bodies to not give birth to them, not identify with them, or to delineate experience so that it's clearly not self?
So there's many purposes. One is to recognize experience, so we're staying in the immediacy of experience rather than being lost in our views and opinions, so that we're thinking, we're not even identifying with the body, we're identifying with our view and opinion about the body. That's really, you know, it's not the first level of misidentification, it's like a second or tertiary level of delusion in that way, where we're like, we are so identified with our anger that because we have this whole justification, we have a whole story about our anger, that we're so far removed from the emotional body, we're taking anger as the whole of the emotional body, and then we're in an interpretation that's justifying that anger or a way of hurting ourselves, all of which comes into this identifying with. So that's one way, and then the taking birth in, yes. But also how we nourish so that we can have a balance in our experience. And the balanced experience is the experience where the insight can most arise, so that we can balance the emotional body. We're not over-identified with it, but we're not also denying it. Where we can feel the truth of our vital body, so therefore, we treat it right, but also we're not over-identified one way or the other through the attachment. There's a sense of a balanced relationship. And this is this kind of everything being in balance, when things are lined up, that is when insight can most flow. That's my understanding of this and my experience of it. So thank you for that. So then I'm going to just add a few things in terms of each of these three. In the physical body, there are, you know, we talk about the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, which is you find in the Buddhist teachings. And twice in the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length discourses of the Buddha, he adds space as yet another element. And in this teaching, space is added as an element. And in one sutta in the Majjhima, the Buddha also adds consciousness as an element. And that's not added here. So, but this sense of being able to be in the physical body through noting the elements. And the reason I was emphasizing stillness and movement tonight, one reason, is because in the physical body, we can notice the stillness through the earth element. And that can be very grounding in our meditation experience and very useful. So from a spiritual point of view, we can practice, we can say that the fire element burns away obscurity. That is the way we use the fire element, that the water element brings flow and connection and is a kind of cleansing. As we feel movement, the fixity of the view or a story or an attachment to something, it gets washed away by the fluidity of our mindfulness. And then with the wind element, that wind, which we use more with the vital body and the nine bodies teaching, but the wind element brings the breath of life. And with it, it carries with this movement towards life and towards relatedness. And that relatedness has in it, from a spiritual point of view, an inter-R-ness, to use Thich Nhat Hanh's phrase, a sense of co-arising, that life, that we're connected to all of life, we're part of life, we're not separate units, we're part of this greater life. And from that connectedness, that relatedness, service. And so using the wind in this way the moving towards the vital body. And then with the earth has this receptiveness like the Buddha's advice to Rahula about be like earth, which is receives anything. It does not object to what it receives. It receives spit and water, rainwater with equal equanimity, this ability to receive experience. And earth, of course, has this nourishing. It gives us all of our food and that sense of the nourishment aspect and the stability that comes with the earth element. So this the physical body itself can be used for seeing insight and cultivating through these elements in this way. And of course, the physical body is where the physical heart is located. And in the Bal Yogi's teaching, he says in his realization, we have three hearts, and we'll get to the second one in a moment. So with the vata body, it's the body, there's a manifest level that's made up, that we're here manifested in this realm physically. We're manifested in this realm in terms of our vitality, how much vitality we have, how much energy we have. And then we're manifest emotionally in this realm. So these three are the manifest realm. In this teaching of the nine bodies, there's a subtle realm made up of three bodies. And the first of those is etheric, the second is the astral, and the third is the intuitive body, which we're going to come to those, and we're going to do another meditation where we get to experiment with those a little, just get a foreshadowing, if nothing else. But the vital body is how we get to the subtle levels. So the vital body has this important role of playing to reach the subtle realms, the energetic realms of our experience. And most people that have had retreat experience, or most people maybe in life, know that there's energetic realms, that we have these energetic experiences of various kinds. You know, it's assumed. It may not have that language for it, but it's such a common experience in our lives. Mm-hmm. And of the, but what we don't have is labels and a systemized way of noticing where we are, and so this is part of the value. But the vital body is important, and we'll come back and we'll go through the vital body through these subtle realms, because we start feeling the vital body to access. It is our point of, it's our portal, to use modern language, it's our portal into getting to the subtle realms in a systematic, structured way. So the vital body is has all of this vitality, and in the yoga forest tradition in India, they speak of 10 different pranas or 10 different breaths that have different functions in the body, and those have been long studied, and I find them legitimate. And so the feeling that comes from accessing the vital body is the love, our relatedness feeling. The love comes through this, through giving energy. There's a life energy, so we give our vitality to those causes that we care about. We give our vitality to our children and to our friends and to taking care of our parents. And to our loved, our lover, our friend, our significant other, our spouse, all the different languages that might be used, that we share voluntarily our vitality. We spend, as it were, our vitality on that which we care, and that is the way that love is experienced. Just as love is experienced as receptivity, we're willing to be here. In the physical body, we're willing to stay in the body. That is an act of love. Courage, but courage, kuer, is a heart quality. So with the earth element, the earth, the physical body has this receptivity and willing to stay present in the moment, to be here embodied. And then the vitality is this kind of, giving our vitality to. And then this third of the manifest body is the emotional body, which includes all the emotions, including our ambition. So emotions we may consider skillful or unskillful, that are listed as skillful or unskillful emotions, difficult emotions, they are all here in the emotional body. And the emotional body is that underlying capacity. And that's what I was I'm expecting there to be a question about that at some point here, this emotional body in this way. And then from that emotional body, there's a kind of purification. Because as we're mindful of the emotional body, we become more and more mindful of what conditions cause wholesome emotions and what conditions cause unwholesome emotions. And we start to realize that any particular wave of emotion, any particular emotion being manifest, is due to conditions and due to our way of perceiving and relating to it. And so we realize, oh, there's this emotional body, but I have a wide range of possibility in terms of my emotional body, and therefore what will manifest in any given moment. And but so rather than identifying with a particular emotion, we identify with this capacity and our cultivating a wise relationship with the emotional body as a whole. Does that make sense to you? But it's a little tricky, at least it was for me, to not go this one and now that emotion, but to drop down into this emotional body itself as a felt sense, as a felt sense. So then, with the moving from these manifest bodies, these manifest levels of consciousness, manifest levels of being, there's an emotional beingness, there's a vital beingness, there's a physical beingness. We move to this energetic level, and we know that we get to the energetic level we come to experience it by intention. So we talk, the intention is one of the capacities that was developed in the Eightfold Path Sama Sankapa, wise or right intention. Our intention, we intend to move to this knowing. We intend, in the book I describe it, may I know the etheric body or may I know the astral body. But that the may is because we're being modest. But there's an intention, there's a deliberate embodying the arising of knowing of this. And it's the subtle bodies are more difficult to know than, in one sense, than the manifest bodies. Although, again, for me, it was not as hard as it was harder for the emotional body. So this first level, the etheric body, is that body which is Sanskrit word is akasha. This akasha means space. So the etheric body is this energetic space. It's not a dead space. It's an alive space. It's an alive capacity. It's this energetic space which we can feel, and which is the subtle level of all of the elements, of the earth element, air element. It's all there. They're all there in this etheric body. It's the, when you feel, if you've ever had a body work where someone really, like, you feel their hands nourishing you, there's this kind of sense of nourishment, or like they're holding your shoulder and you've injured it and it relaxes, and that you go, how's this happening? At that point, they're accessing the etheric body. Some of these mysterious healers, some of you in here know some of these healers that among the monastics, among other people, from this map, they are accessing the etheric body. They are using subtle energy to attune your body to your own vital body. They're bringing up the vital body in a way that heals a wound and injury in the physical body, or a wound or energy in the emotional body. And that it's the energetic of it. So in our city, when we're doing the Brahma Viharas, we can access this etheric body through the Brahma Viharas. We can access it through our stillness. It can just arise when we're being with the breath, where we feel this other level. It's the subtle level. It's the level where knowing, we know something, but there's no reason for us to know it. But we know, we just have that experience of awe. That we just know. That's all happening here. It's a level where Valyogi says it's that our manifest body and emotions and vitality are contained in the space of this etheric body, and in that way we're a microcosm in a macrocosm, and anything that's in the macrocosm, since we're part of it, we would be able to access in this way. And the sense of this is that there is a kind of nourishing energy. So when you're sitting and when you come out of your sit, or you're sitting there and you really start having a sense of well-being, a strong sense of nourishment, that's this aspect of consciousness, this level of being that of the etheric body in this way. And then the next one is the astral body, and the astral body is that non-physical, how to put this, it's the body that you don't need a physical body to experience, is the way he says it. The astral body is when we are up there on the ceiling looking down at ourselves. You may have had this in some moment when you realize you're so emotional that you've left the body. You're not really in your body. You'll say, I feel a little separated from my body, or I can't really access my body. Or when people have been injured and they're lying on the operating table, and they're, you know, they they're seeing what's going on in the room. That's the, this astral body. When you feel like you're back in your childhood home, and you really feel like you're there in your childhood home, that's the astral body experience. You're separated from your loved one, and you feel their presence, then they or you are in the astral body, and you're knowing it through the astral body. Somebody's traveling, and you're recognizing it. Or sometimes you're both in the astral body, and you're meeting somewhere in between. That's a very cool feeling when that happens. One of the things that I discovered is that for some people in meditation, that this is the body that they have unconsciously cultivated as to where they sit to practice in. So they don't do the physical body as much as they do the astral body. That is not a problem as long as you know it. But if you don't know it, it can be a problem. And in daily life, when we can't stand the pressure of the moment, when we're too sensitive and we pop out, usually that is because the emotions of being in the manifest body, the emotional body that is manifest here now, is too much. So where many people will go is they'll pop up into this astral body, this level of being that's not really completely here. It's not completely manifest. We're in this astral realm. And it's a safer place. It's a safer place for them. Again, that's not wrong, but to one in mindfulness practice, one wishes to have choice, because there's insight to staying present when we're feeling overwhelmed. We don't always want to stay present when we're feeling overwhelmed, because sometimes it's too much and we need to get out of Dodge, but sometimes it's quite useful to be there in the emotional body, to stay in the emotional body with the fear, or with the hurt, or with the longing that is so deep and strong and reverberating in the physical body and affecting our vitality and all of that, to really go, look at this all coming from an attachment or from a view or something I'm clinging to, something I'm thirsting after, as we're taught so beautifully by the Buddha. And so that's the astral body. The third body in this, the third energetic body, is that of the intuitive body. And the intuitive body is that body that can have insight. So when we have an insight, this direct experience of knowing, of seeing the truth of the First Noble Truth, or seeing the realization of grasping, or the Second Noble Truth around thirst, or any of the awakening factors, when we're knowing them directly, that's because in this map system, we are accessing the intuitive body. Because the intuitive body has this higher quality. He calls it buddhi. And this higher quality of mind that can know directly experience, as opposed to inductive or deductive. So it's not an intellectual process. It's a direct recognition of what is real happiness and what is not real happiness. On and on, all of these different insights that, you know, the Buddha filled all these pages in modern texting with his teachings around these insights. And this intuitive body works with the etheric body. The etheric body has this ability, like an antenna, to go out and find an experience or find a kind of knowing. And then the intuition, the intuitive body, recognizes and knows, and it's like that, that's what they meant. That's what the Buddha means. That's the thing. And in our personal life, when we realize, this is the truth of this situation. That's what she's really like. I didn't realize that this was the level of her development. And as a friend, therefore, I've not adjusted to the reality. And it's not like you figured it out. It's just like, I get why she's still so caught in that same fear that she was feeling as a teenager. Now she's in her 40s, but she's still caught in that fear. And it's not a judgment, it's just a knowing. That's the this intuition it knows this person's safe and not. That's this intuitive capacity accessing this. So these are the three energetic. They're energetic. They're not physically manifest. The emotional body is physically manifest. It's but the intuitive bodies are not. They're still in the energetic form, and that energy then flows into this manifesting. So it's flowing down into this physical realm. And emotions are so physical, right? They're so known in this. But all the subtle elements are in the physical body. All of the organs of action and knowing that function in our daily life is in part of mind are there in the astral body. The astral body is, if we learn to use our mindfulness to tether us, if we're in the astral body, we don't get lost in the same way because we can come back. Because it's both the way out of this physical manifest realm and the way in. It's such an important point. So important point. Because a number of people with a strong relationship, a strong habit around staying in the astral body, they've no name for it. And the idea of that, oh, this is the way I go out is the same way I can come in, becomes very, very useful. I've only been teaching this limited form for a few years, and then with some frequency just in the last 2 or 3 months. But it comes up over and over again, and always has from the very first time I ever taught it. And so these are these three bodies. And then the last of the bodies are not even energy. They're not even energy. They are a potential. They're a potential. So there's potential, there's energy, and then the energy manifests into this realm. That makes sense, right? And the first of these is the spiritual body. And the spiritual body is that body that holds all possibilities. Every possibility that we're capable of. To kill, to love, to sacrifice ourselves for others, to create, to discover, to be a rageful individual, to be a hateful person. It's all there as potential in the spiritual body. And the teachings of the Buddha teach us how to cultivate those potentials that are wholesome. And the more we cultivate them, the more we can access through like with the subtle body, we access through intention. With the spiritual and the other bodies in this causal realm, we access through intuition. So the spiritual body has all this potential. The divine body is why things exist. Love. It is love itself. But love before it becomes split into wholesome and unwholesome. At the divine body, there's unity. So when we're moving towards unity, that is where, as a direct experience, we're moving towards becoming one with all. That would be the divine body in that way. And so the last of these is the cosmic bodies, the term he uses, which is mysterious and cannot be intuited. We can only feel what we don't know. There's something we don't know. And then with all of this teaching, he created, this is all over 50 years ago, a series of illustrations. This is luminous consciousness. I didn't want to set up a slide and all this, and we don't have time for that. But there's this when I showed this to my teacher, the Venerable Sumedho, we were in his kuti in Thailand, and this was about 5 or 6 years ago now, I think. And we were just standing there, and we stood there in silence 3 to 5 minutes, and he looked up at me and he said, "I don't need any explanation. I understand." I was so impressed because when I saw it, I was moved by it, and I knew there was some important teaching for me in this, but I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. And I needed explanation. So there's all of these different kinds of this is like, this is the flame of consciousness. This is, there's a series of these, this same drawing, because there's so much information, I had to do it 3 times to convey all the information. It took me years and years to understand this as a coherent thing. It took me many, many years because it was not taught coherently. I was shown an illustration and then go meditate on it. You'll understand. And then I was taught about something about one of the bodies. And then there would be some whole other topic that later on, after some period of time, I realized was illustrating some point about that, but it seemed to have no relevance. It was not linear, so it took a long time. And these are my understandings that I have realized they're not his teachings. You have to go over there and study with him if you want his teachings. So now I'd like to do another little sit, and we're going to just experience a little bit, see, of these bodies. You know that you've got a direction. Those bodies moving around, that noise and all is being made by the physical body. So tune into it, even if you're still like, you know, putting something away or taking something out. Just feel the physicality. All of the movement was movement of this physical body. There is a consciousness at this level. It's the consciousness that comes with sensation. And then feeling the emotional body. Are your emotions all quiet now? Maybe the one emotion is curiosity. There is an aspect of your consciousness, a level of your being, that is knowing whatever the emotion is. It's residing in this aspect of beingness. And we can relate to it through our mindfulness and through intention. We can cultivate it through the Brahma Viharas. It is something that is manifest. You are an emotional being. I am an emotional being. And then going to the vital body. Feeling this capacity of vitality right now. So I am physically tired, but I can feel underneath that the vitality that is coursing through me. It's an energy that's separate from being physically tired. It overlaps, it's affected by, but it's a different feeling. It's like the underlying capacity that if rested in, that it's what's there. And if there's not enough rest, if there's not enough nourishment of it, then it will be low because of conditions. But itself is separate from that, from those conditions. And then Bal Yogi uses this image of a ladder from the vital body. We climb the ladder. We move through intention. May I know the experience of we get more and quiet, more still. We start to feel a subtle energy, a subtle realm of reality that's energetic. And this is opening to the etheric body. There's this spaciousness, there's this alive spaciousness. I will often feel it as a subtle vibration. I tell people at the end of a retreat, I will often be really accessing this etheric body, and coming up for hugs at the end of a retreat is a good thing when I'm in that etheric body roaring. It leads to so much vitality. It can feel like, oh, this is the truth. This is more who I am than this physical body. And that's true, but not so true to get attached to it. You can feel the vastness. And this vastness can be assuring, reassuring, calming. Or we can get a little afraid of the vastness, the etheric body. You may feel it throughout the body, or you may feel it a change in the skull, almost like the brain is moving a little bit, or the electricity of the brain is altered to feel this. Yogi refers to the electricity of consciousness, meaning this energy of consciousness. Each level of consciousness having its own energetic form. You may not go into the specifics of like the etheric body, but you just feel the subtle energy realm. In Cambridge, when I was teaching this a few weeks ago, this woman had this experience of, as she reported, that she had always wanted to feel both the opposites and unity at the same time. And when she was in this subtle realm, for the first time after years and years of practice, in just a few moments, she actually had that experience. So don't worry about, do I really know what it is, but am I feeling the subtlety? Just the subtle energy, just the energy. From this subtle energy, invite the knowing of the astral body. This ability to be manifest here and not be manifest. This ability to withdraw from the manifest realm. This capacity. And then the capacity to move into it in the form of acting and knowing. Think of times that you didn't really feel in the body, or when you felt other in some way. Or just invite the knowing. Again, if all that happens is you feel the subtle energy as part of your experience, then you're well on your way. It took me a long time to do what I'm asking or inviting you to have a slight taste or hint of or foretaste. Connecting back to the etheric body, this more immediate here and now manifest in the energetic realm, and invite the knowing of the intuitive body, the body of insight. Bhava Yogi teaches that this is where the Buddha sat, and that the Buddha was the master of these nine bodies, because he could so stay in the intuitive body and have all of these insights. It's like having direct experiences plugging into your intuition, which we all have, but being able to mainline it, to just rest in it. Sometimes it's quiet, and sometimes something arises and is known, but you feel the intuition. You feel the capacity to know. Your own Buddha nature. It's how you know the different levels and aspects of consciousness. It's how you know our relationship of life experience in terms of the Four Noble Truths. Intuitive body, you can look out at experience, or you can look in at the capacity of consciousness, of a knowing, of awareness. And you can dwell in pure consciousness. You can dwell in what I call luminous consciousness, which is empty awareness. Such a very brief sampling. I feel conflicted every time I do this, because it's so brief that it's a disservice to you. And yet, how else will I offer you the chance to even get in the larger neighborhood of something? Any question or comment? Yes?
Yeah, so, is it sequential? Is it linear? Do you just access different levels at different times, depending on what
you're doing? I teach it as to first learn it in a linear fashion. So I ask you to build up to, and I would have you not go like I would have you spend, like on a retreat. You would spend, the first day on just the first three bodies. You wouldn't get to the others, and the longer the retreat, I would break it down even more. Like when Dana studied with me for a month at a time on retreat, I could really work with her quite subtly in this. So it's linear to know it, and then after that, it is not linear. like with the jhanas, you know, you go through each of the jhanas, the absorption in order, but they, you move so fast through them that it hardly seems like that's what you're doing once you've reached a certain level of experience with it. And the progress of the insight is the same thing. There's you're learning your way around, but then you, but and then in regular life, you can summon the etheric body just like that, because you need to, or you'll find that it's arisen on its own, because all the bodies are already here. It's recognizing them and being able to access what they offer as benefits. Yes.
Yeah, there's an odd bit of non-linearity there, in which you go 1, 2, 3, 2, 4. Why didn't he just reverse the order of the emotional body and the vital body? Go physical, vital, emotional.
I don't know why. Why don't you go ask him? Maybe you'll get better results than I did when I asked. And I wanted to change it for my teaching of it, but I didn't feel like there may be some mystery to this that I don't know, so I just didn't do it. And it could be a quirk of his, or that it just didn't occur to him. I make no claim about that. I do not know why he did that. But in my own, like with you, in the second meditation, we went from the physical to the emotional, then to the vital. But that's not the way he taught it. And I read the manuscript to him on 3 different occasions over a number of years, and he liked it the way it was. So, any other experience in this back here, please? Oh, well, here's one right here, sorry.
Yeah. In terms of the feelings of the 3, the etheric sort of felt like just this sort of the space around me was a little more alive.
Mm-hmm.
The astral sort of felt like a kind of a up and out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the intuitive felt like right in the middle of the head was very quiet. And
yes. So in his map, you were accessing the Gan Chakshu, that there's the eye of awareness that for you at that moment in his map. So,
I had no questions. So
no, I was hoping somebody would say their experience. So thank you for saying that. Yeah, now someone else would have very different experiences, but those are typical kinds of experiences, just as you did them. Now this gentleman back here, please.
Trying to apply this very new material to my experience. And I'm wondering where in this system is the self-talking mind judging or
it is laced throughout, and it's called the Antikarana in Sanskrit, and there's these 4 aspects of ego and lower mind, and it's too long an explanation, but he has that. This is a typical Indian teaching about the nature of mind, that the ego is part of mind, and then there's a lower regular mind, and then there's this intuitive mind, and then there's mind stuff. There's all of our associations and memories and inclinations. That's our mind stuff. Okay, this last one.
So I have a question about the astral body. So I'm just curious, since it's a leaving of the physical body.
And the coming back in.
Yeah. Because I guess I'm noticing how I have gone into it unconsciously. So, and I notice there's some fear around going into it consciously. So I'm just curious if there's any sort of risk around going at that route.
There, So in regular risk, there's more risk in going into it, not knowing you're going into it. So because, you know, when we're spacey, that's we're hanging out in the astral body. When we're kind of disoriented and a little like not tracking, we're in the astral body. We're not really like, so, and not recognizing that, we think we've gotten the instructions when we haven't. But if we know we're in the astral body, go, there's things I can know here and things I can't know here. So I'm not going to act on instructions from the astral body. I want to come more into being physical, manifest, and so forth. So that's that level. There's access that happens through drugs, and people can get identified with astral body experiences. And one way they can get that is through drugs. And so they get addicted to drugs because the drugs are addictive, or because this experience, they get attached to the experiences they're having in drugs. So a student was saying the other day about having a number of friends that do a lot of ayahuasca, and the student said, and they all think they're Jesus. And meanings of some sort of, you know, prophet, some sort of seeing. And that would, if that's true, I'm not against, I've never had ayahuasca, but I'm not against ayahuasca or anything like that one way. I don't have any view or opinion about it. But I do have a view or opinion about overuse of traveling, you know, and there's all of these different drugs for that. But there's also all these different experiences to, you know. So a rock climber is really in her body or his body because they're up there. A free climbing rock climber, they are so present. That's the reward, is they get so present. And so in Vipassana practice, we're cultivating an in-the-body experience rather than out-of-the-body experience. But we will have out-of-body experiences and that we can bring our mindfulness to, and we can know where we are, and we can tether from his map. When the Buddha went to the Deva realms, he did that through the astral body. And if you're going to believe that literally, there's somehow that the Buddha did that. And so that's just as knowing the past lives would be from the etheric body. That's where you would sit to know your past bodies, if that's you believe that. We have to stop now. Art's getting very nervous about her not finishing.